chasing the rabbit so you don't have to. Here they are, Mark and Don, the two crazy guys.
Well, okay, and here we are, the premiere episode of The Two Crazy Guys. I'm Donald Lowry, a.k.a. Big D.
And I'm Mark Will, a.k.a. Prepper Guy.
Amen, brother. We'd like to give a big, warm welcome to all of you folks up there listening to us on AM 540 KYAH, Utah's Talk Authority. Thanks for tuning in.
It's God's country up here. It's beautiful up here. Cold.
Yeah.
Home at the TSA or...
Almost polar vortex area, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so then we also want to give a big shout out to John and all the guys over on Contra Radio as well.
All the hosts and all the shows out there.
Yeah, man.
Not good. Just us, because we rock.
Good stuff over there. In fact, if you want to catch the podcast stream...
Just countryradionetwork.com. And then they usually... all of them have the Podbean player.
Yeah.
So it's got the last 10 episodes of each one.
There you go.
So if you want to hear Prepping 2.0, they're all there.
Everybody's there.
The Mark Boyle Show, which is me. And now we're changing that to Two Crazy Guys. Because I like having someone to talk to, man. I get lonely.
I do run the conservative underground. It's more of a political news-focused show where, you know, Mark Boyle has that prepping. So we meet in the middle with the patriotic prepper.
Yeah, I like that. Because, you know, I listen to a lot of prepping podcasts and political podcasts and even watching the news. And it's like, yeah, this is all really great and scary, but how does that affect my life?
Yeah.
And so I like to try to, you know, dial it back and get everybody off the ledge and go, look, there's something you can do about this. There's nothing you can do about that.
Exactly.
Why don't you look at it this way? My idea of learning to prep is going camping. It doesn't get any better than that.
You know, you got to be, look, here's the thing. All right. So we got I think we came up with the two crazy guys because, I don't know, either we are crazy or we're not crazy and everybody else is. But we are just a couple of crazy guys that like to hang around. And we both, I know, I believe in being ready because you never know. You just never know when something is going to happen.
And I know for a fact that I am crazy. It's clinical.
Well, I've been told I'm crazy now. So I guess that fits, right?
Well, and you know, I think because the way we look at things, it makes us seem crazy to people that are more, I guess, dogmatic in their beliefs. Because when I tell people there's nothing you can do about this or America's reached this point of no return, they go, well, you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, those are facts on the ground.
Yeah. Or when I tell people that if we don't be careful, we're going to end up like North Korea.
Yeah.
You know, people think that I'm a nutbag because, look, man, you let your government start taking your rights away and watch how fast you get to North Korea, my friends.
Yeah, you lose it really fast. And it's not just a slow slide because we've been in that for quite a while.
Yeah. Actually.
And so people are always saying, well, we're going toward a cliff. I say, no, I think we've gone off the cliff like Thelma and Louise. We're just now pumping the brakes and nothing's going to happen.
Well, if we're not careful, we're going to end up with this Green New Deal, which you and I both know is not sustainable. It will collapse. And like you said, Mark, I don't know if that's if they don't realize that it's going to collapse or if they do know that it's going to collapse and they are deliberately trying to push us into that collapse.
Well, I think we hate to think that way of our government or not that maybe the government as a whole, but a bunch of secret little combinations and meetings going on out there. And people used to say, well, you know, they're so stupid in Washington. It's like, I don't think they're stupid.
Yeah.
I think they're making these moves to get us into a place of checkmate.
Well, you know, people call Barack Obama stupid. And if you look at his end goal, the result that he wanted to achieve, he was a genius.
And you know, did it fit in with what an average American would like for our country? You know, even Democrats don't want to destroy the country.
Right.
But so you think, well, how stupid is he? No, he's playing a different game.
Right.
That's like saying that quarterback's so stupid, if he makes that pass, we're going to lose. It's right. Like, yeah, that's the whole point of the game.
That's right.
You know, so you lose.
Right.
So they're not – I don't think they're that stupid. I think they're that conniving. And I hate to feel that way about the people we've elected, but look at the people we've elected.
Well,
not just you and I. We.
I'll agree with you on that point, except when we look at AOC.
Yeah, we.
Cortez.
They beamed her down from Mars.
Look, she is supposed to be educated. She is supposed to be, you know, what, have master's or doctorates or whatever it is. She's supposed to be well-educated.
I need to buy me one of those. Because
man, I'll tell you what.
I don't think they earn them on merit.
I think that if you're going to run for office, that you should at least have a basic understanding of the fundamental principles of a constitutional republic, because that's what we are. We're not a democracy.
No.
And I think if you're going to run for office, then you should at least have a basic understanding of what form of government it is that you're going to try to legislate.
Yeah, you swear an oath to uphold this thing that you don't even understand or have never read. You know, so what does that tell you about their values of swearing an oath to something when they know they're not going to follow it?
Right, right. Exactly.
And I don't think you have to have a Harvard degree to be a politician.
No.
I mean, you just, you know, none of, I mean, the founding fathers were, you know, really smart. Most of them had college educations that they had acquired at 16.
Yeah.
You know, but you need to have a love for your country and a basic understanding that 2 + 2 = 4 when it comes to math and so on.
Right, right, right.
You know,
so. Well, our founders were absolute geniuses.
Yeah.
And there's people out there that'll argue with me. Maybe they were too genius. They were crazy.
Right. They were crazy, like two crazy guys we know. And now you know us. Well, you know that the Constitution was kind of like lightning in a bottle. But it really wasn't when you think about it, because it's been morphing into the U.S. Constitution for 700 years.
Yeah.
You know, because England had a lot of constitutions.
Yeah.
And then, yes, Magna Carta was one of them. But they would try to continue to get representation and freedom. And they had the right to self-defense.
Sure.
And stuff. But then the kings would screw it up and then they'd off with their head.
Yep.
And then they'd get a new one and write a new constitution. So the founding fathers finally took all of those and said, here's version 7.0.
This worked.
We're giving you a representative republic.
Right.
Which was really the tweak that it always needed.
Yeah.
And so they didn't, you know, just make it out of whole cloth.
No, I don't agree that I don't think they did that either. I you know, there was a lot of negotiating that went on. You know, from what we see and when we look at history, you know, they weren't all in agreement with everything with one another at all times.
No, and I think that was the beauty of it. You know, you watch the news and they're like, well, we need some harmony in Washington. And say, no, there were massive debates.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it? Adams and Jefferson didn't speak for years
because
of things. Disagreements on the way things should be done. And before the ink was even dry on the ratification, you know, Hamilton was trying to screw everything all up with his banking and stuff and getting us into debt.
Uh-huh.
So they disagreed, but they were able to debate and work it out and then have a vote. You know, and sometimes your side didn't win.
Right.
It was like, oh, well, that's how we do it here.
That's how we do it. And I mean, when Obama won, our side didn't win.
No.
You know?
And elections when have consequences.
Trump won, thank God Hillary didn't win. You
know? and you know, they probably feel the same way I did when Obama won.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
But there's a difference, because when Obama won, we were told to suck it up, buttercup. And how dare you say anything wrong about Barack Obama, because he was the savior. The reverse applies today, where every single day of our lives, it's an attack Trump fest.
Right.
The same people that, you know, told us suck it up because you didn't win, now have been in a hissy fit in a temper tantrum like screaming little babies for the last 3 years, going on 4 years now.
Well, you remember that thing with Obama and John McCain, who I was not a fan of John McCain.
Me either.
You know, he basically in that one meeting just said, hey, elections have consequences, and handed him his hat and showed him the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what if Trump did that?
Yeah, exactly.
To a Democrat? I don't care what color they are. Oh, it would have been, it'd still be in the news.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe you know, Russia.
So a new, now, I'm not a big fan of polls because you can make the polls say anything you want to say. But, you know, we had the State of the Union address here not too long ago, which, by the way, I do believe it was probably the best State of the Union address in my lifetime.
Yeah. And if people listen to it without the filter of hate Trump.
Yeah.
He said really good things for America.
Yes. And so shortly after that, you had your polls, you know, and what was it like 72-74% of the people agreed with the president and how he was doing business. Well, you had another poll, like he's at like 52% overall approval rating right now. And the Democrats are in a hissy fit because they can't figure out how day after day after day after day after day, the mainstream media has been pushing hatred on this man. Yeah. And they have done everything they can. Russian collusion, you know, prostitutes, anything and everything that they could come up with to throw at him. And he still has a 52% approval rating in his third year in presidency, and they can't figure out how he's doing it. And these are their polls.
Yeah. And what drives them crazy is, you know, he's basically like Superman, and they cannot find his kryptonite.
No.
And you know, and they've had good luck most of the time, you know, destroying and marginalizing most, you know, Republicans. But Trump just does not play by that game. He's like, you guys are out there on the field playing rugby, and I'm over here playing football.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go on that court and play that stupid game because I've got things to do besides bicker and backbite and whine.
And boy, isn't he doing it.
Yeah.
So I saw this story today. McCabe, there was a 25th Amendment. There was 25th Amendment discussions at the DOJ to remove Trump from office. So this plays in. Okay, look. They have tried to hand everything that they can at this man. They, in fact, I remember hearing, you know, trying to claim him as mentally incompetent and, you know, Russian collusion. Well, we now know that, what was it, Mueller's not going to release a report now?
Well, of course not, because that'll keep him, you know, just spinning.
He's going to keep quiet.
And who is he to not release the report? I mean, he works for us, right?
It's going to make him look like a fool is what it's going
to
do.
It's like, you paid me to come into your house and do forecoming, but then I'm just not going to show up. But that's okay somehow in their world. Yeah, but he's hired by us to do certain things. And a report would be nice at the end of it, or you get a D or an F in the class.
Right. Yeah.
These people are blatantly spitting on American people.
Well,
all of them.
So here you had this report, you know, this where it says the former FBI deputy director, Andrew McCabe, says that after President Trump fired his boss, FBI director James Comey, we okay on time?
Yeah.
There were discussions with the Department of Justice about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. Okay. The 25th Amendment basically says that if the president is not competent to do his job, the vice president can step up and say, hey, you know, we need to do something about this.
Right.
But in fact, I can actually pull up the 25th Amendment because I have it in my handy dandy Constitution.
Hey, did you notice that Democrat the other day that was ripping on the guy from the DOJ?
Yeah, that's this.
The Democrats pulled out his pocket Constitution. He's like, does it say it here? And it's like, but every time a Republican did that in the past, it was like, put that stupid thing away. It's like, well, first of all, it's our Constitution. It's not a stupid thing. But now they're trying to use that against us. I thought, that's kind of cute.
Well, you know, all right. So basically,
he was wrong. But
there's, you know, Section 1, 2, 3, Section 4. So Section 3 says whenever the president transmit to the president pro tempore, in that case, in today's case, it would be Glassley is the pro tempore in the Senate. And of course, the Speaker of the House being Nancy Pelosi. So Trump would have to write a letter to them saying, I am not competent to perform my job. Well, we know that's not going to happen. Now, Section 4.
And that would normally have to do with health issues, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't be competent to write that or make that call if you're mentally incompetent.
Right. So, by the way, and he did have his physical, and they said he's healthy as a horse. His cholesterol is a little high. You know,
that's because he's listening to American Doctors.
Well, and he eats McDonald's too. But what's wrong with that?
I do like too. McDonald's.
But section four is where we're looking at with this article. It says, whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tempore of the Senate that the speaker or and the speaker of the House of Representation their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge powers and duties of his office. So in other words, VP Pence would have to write a letter to Grassley and to Pelosi. And, of course, he'd have to have several cabinet members on board.
Right.
That ain't happening. Right. So now this begs the other question. What exactly, I mean, it's not like I can come up and say, let's say I'm Mike Pence and you're Donald Trump. It's not like I can walk up to you and say, hey, dude, you're incompetent.
Right.
You have to have a medical evaluation done.
So the intent is, you know, back before we had the internet and high-speed, you know, communications and all that, you know, you might get word that, you know, Washington was killed out on the field of battle,
mm-hmm.
or he was wounded really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as vice president, you'd go, hey, you know, for now, we think he's not going to be able to do what he's doing.
Right.
Let's keep the show on the road here.
Right.
But nowadays, we don't need, you know, somebody else saying you're mentally incompetent.
Exactly.
And you know,
and that's what they're talking
something.
About.
But it wasn't just to pull a rabbit out of your hat. Just
exactly.
To make life a pain in the ass.
Hey, look,
America's.
We're not going to get Russian collusion. We don't have the prostitution thing. We don't have any audio that, oh, by the way, they said they had audio of Trump saying the N word. Nobody has ever produced any such audio. So we don't have him on that. We can't prove that he's a racist. We can't prove that he colluded with the Russians. Hey, let's say he's mentally incompetent and pull the 25th out of our hat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And you know, I heard two words in there, first of all, as you were reading that. Maybe I need a point of clarification. First of all, what the hell is pro tempore? And I know the Constitution pretty good, but some words just, because you hear it in a lot of, like, even, you know, end of the world books.
Yeah.
You know, president pro tempore. And it's like, okay, I'm sure, you know, when I hear words like that used in the media and the news, I'm like, you're just trying to sound really smart. What does it mean? Like, can you put it into English for me? And then the other word that I heard that I thought was funny is the House of Representation.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that we don't realize as American and citizens that we have lost our representation through, you know, other amendments like the 17th Amendment and electing senators and stuff. So it's hard to fall back on the fact that we have representation anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem in America. That I think we face is, you know, there's a giant disconnect between
so
those people.
The definition of, president pro tempore.
Yes.
A high-ranking senator of the majority party who presides over the U.S. Senate in the absence of the vice president.
Okay.
So, and that right now that's Grassley. Grassley is the pro tempore, the president pro tempore of the Senate. In other words, If the vice president was not available or whatever, they didn't have access to him, then he is like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. Well, he's kind of like he's the guy that they go to, I guess, temporarily fill the vacancy or make the decision.
Okay, so how I look at this, because, you know, they wrote all these things for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely, so
if
they did.
If the pro tempore, you know, is a high-ranking senator, Grassley or whatever his name is, and then all of a sudden, you know, Trump's gone and they can't get a hold of Pence, and he's got information that there's something going on, then we need to keep the government rolling.
We do?
Then they would step in, you know, at times.
Shut it down!
Yeah. Click. I mean, I'm all for a shutdown for, I don't know, 5-6 years, but I don't get a paycheck from them. But, you know, then you can kind of see a reason for that language in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back before we had cell phones and smartphones and satellite surveillance, you know, if you couldn't get a hold of the vice president,
yeah,
and you had, you know, knowledge that the president had been hurt or something, then you just can't stop.
Right.
You know?
Right,
so
right.
So the functions could continue to go on.
Exactly.
But it's not to just, let's try this.
Yeah, you can't just pull rabbit. Yeah, you can't just, look, you can't just arbitrarily make up laws.
You sure?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're trying. They're trying it now, but
because you know they do that, and then they bounce it off the Supreme Court, and then everyone's like, "Well, the Supreme Court ruled. Courts do not rule. Kings rule."
That's right.
Courts come up with opinions, and they go, "In
that's
our
exactly
opinion,
right.
The way you presented Roe v. Wade in this one case, in that little tiny narrow band,
right?
We think it was right. They didn't just rule that all abortion was legal,
right? Exactly.
Because every case." You know, all the way down to they broke into the wrong house.
Yeah.
It didn't have all houses. It was just that
the judicial
one
branch of the government is to interpret law.
Right.
Not to write it.
And you know, it used to be our representatives would go to Washington and they'd go, this is what we need.
Yeah.
And then the senators would be appointed by the state.
Right.
And your congressman, the guy you elected.
Right.
Not the senator you elected.
Right, but, right.
And they go, okay, go write some laws. And that was their job, to go take all of this minutiae that the state representatives have hammered out and turn it into law.
That's right.
Not to sit there and blather on for an hour on the news telling me what they think.
Exactly.
Because I don't care what they
think. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I agree, man. It's crazy that we even have, you know, I'm a firm believer that our republic is in great peril, man.
Yeah.
It is in great peril. And you hear me say this all the time on the Underground Talk Show, is that people need to become educated. They our education system went in the dirt years ago.
Well, yeah, and that's, I think we take that to, you know, when people say you need to get educated.
Wait, we have a caller on the hotline.
Oh, Mr. President? Hey, yeah.
The president's on.
It's Trump. I told you that letter I sent him got to. $5 I donated. Yeah. You're listening to the show?
Right on.
Cool. He says we're right on the money.
Right on.
Tell Nancy what? Yeah, everyone knows she's crazy. All right. Well, you have a great day. Enjoy that whatever it is you're doing. Pissing off the Democrats. Yeah. They need it. All right. Thanks for calling. That guy's great.
There you have it. The president taking time out of his busy day to call us two crazy guys.
Yeah, because, you know, he calls Hannity and all them, but, you know, they probably pay for that. This was free. He just wanted to call and thank us because we're right here in an undisclosed location by the biggest, what is that, like an intelligence base?
It's a communications base.
The biggest communication.
In fact, Fort Huachuca.
Maybe you call somebody else and it just rang through there by accident. I don't know.
Fort Huachuca is the comm center of, it used to be at least, the comm center of the world.
Yeah.
So it's a signal corps.
Awesome.
Not corpse. Corps.
Not corpse?
Not a corpse.
You sure? Because Obama had a Harvard degree. Or
he called it Marine Corps, right?
Yeah.
Or the Corps of Engineers or whatever.
And he was a constitutional lawyer.
Yeah.
But that don't mean that's an either.
Well, you can pay anyone and get a driver's license.
That's true. My son is a rabbi online. Huh? No, he's a preacher.
Yeah.
He can marry people.
You can do it, man. If you got money, you can do it.
Well, I like
thanks to Al Gore for inventing the internet.
I love the internet. I should give more respect to Al. What were we talking about before we were interrupted?
So we were talking about the United States education system.
Oh, yes. People think that just because you say get educated, it means go to school.
Right. That's not what I mean.
And Jefferson and all those guys were self-taught. Taught themselves Latin. You know, they went through the school of hard knocks, but they learned and they read.
Yeah, man.
And so you need to be, as an American, an informed citizen, and you need to be ever vigilant. I think
exactly.
That's kind of what we were talking about. You know, so you can't just sit there and be an armchair quarterback.
Right.
When our country is literally gone off.
Going in the garbage can.
Yeah. So we'll take a break, and I should probably call Trump back and apologize for being so rude to him.
I'm sure he understands. He knows we're busy guys doing this. So.
Yeah. Well, he's got surveillance.
Hi, this is John Jeffers inviting you to listen to my show, The Jeffers Brief. You know, on The Jeffers Brief, we discuss topics of interest and concerns for preppers and patriots. You can only find us on the Comptroller Radio Network on podbean.com or KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority. Hope you join me, and we'll talk to you then.
Talking the issues and taking the hit. Here they are, the two crazy guys.
Okay, we're back at you.
Hey, and so listen, we would also like it if you paid attention to our sponsors, because if it wasn't for our, you know, our sponsors, we wouldn't be able to do this. And for you listeners out there as well, it's a big thing. It means a lot to us. You know, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. At least the Underground Talk Show is on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us out there. This will be syndicated as well on the Underground Talk Show. And we're in iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher Radio and all those other networks out there. The Contra Radio Network, though, is the big one.
Yeah.
And, of course, KYAH 540 AM. Tell your friends about the program. Tell your friends, oh, by the way, we've got a new website we're going to be launching pretty soon.
That's right. We're going to be Two Crazy Guys, spelt with a K, right?
With a K.
TwoCrazyGuys.com.
With the number two.
Number two, letter K.
K.
CrazyGuys.com.
.com.
And that'll be up pretty darn soon.
Yeah.
We just about started to get everything loaded and running.
Yeah.
And so we'll be syndicating there. And if you know any small radio stations in your area that you would like to hear us on,
put the word out.
Put the word out. We'd really appreciate it. We're on KYAH right now, and those guys are a great group of people.
Yeah.
And like Don was saying, just, you know, support our sponsors.
And go over.
Helps. Even if you just call the radio station and go, those guys are nuts, but I like listening to them.
Yeah, man.
That really helps.
It goes a long way.
They can't do Nelson ratings on radio.
Yeah.
And you know, the internet and downloads is, you know, it's kind of arbitrary. But if a radio station hears somebody call in and say, hey, that was good.
Yeah. And, you know, remember, go over to ContraRadioNetwork.com. Yeah. You know, you can listen to all the other shows over there. Big shout out to John Jeffers, man. That guy is rock solid. He's a good dude, man.
He is.
And so he invited us to go on there as well. And so we're there, and you can listen to the Jeffers Brief also right here on 540 KYAH. I think we mentioned that. I think that's one of the spots that's during the break. Have to check with the production department, but I think that was in the break as well. So,
so wherever they went, but yeah, and then don't forget the Glenn and Shelby Tate.
Yeah,
Prepping 2.0.
Good stuff, man.
And they bring a really interesting perspective to the things they do. Of course, they're both authors.
Yeah.
Have you ever read the 299 Day series?
No, I have not.
I listened to everything on audiobook, and I thought, well, End of the World sounds like my kind of book. And I think there's 9 or 10 in the series. I listened to the first one. I was addicted.
Yeah.
And it's just a guy's journey into preparing. And naturally, all the preparers in the book needed to, because the world happened to end that day.
Yeah.
I've been preparing 40 years and the world's still here. I'm waiting, but, you know.
So, you know what, man? Tomorrow's never a given, my friends.
No, it's not. And then Shelby Gallagher, her new series, The Great State. I think the series is called The Great State, and then the first book was The Divide. I'm not sure on that. Really interesting, too. I got both of her books on audio now.
Wow.
And listen to them, and they're very captivating.
So very cool.
They bring that type of, I guess, what do I call it, a mindset or kind of thought process to being prepared.
Uh-huh.
And politics and stuff from that angle.
So, yeah, head on over there to check them out on the website. Lots of cool stuff. And like Mark said, you know, just share the program, man.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I can talk about anything.
Oh, I know. We can talk about the hatred for Trump.
I don't understand that.
Me either.
I guess it's just totally partisan. Because, if you know, nobody hated him before he ran for president. All the people that hate him right
now were all his buddies. All
his buddies hanging out and playing golf with him. And, you know, all the, you know, who is it? Who's the Reverend, you know, Al Sharpton liked him?
Clinton liked him.
Yeah, everybody liked him. And he's a great guy. He's a good businessman. You know what got me to actually finally break down and vote for him? Because I tossed it around a lot. And by the time it was ready for election, we didn't have a lot of choices. But I really watched his children around him.
Yeah.
And I've raised, you know, a total of 6 kids, you know, mine and my wife's. And teenagers and young adults are very hard to raise to where they don't just think you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm watching them around him, and I'm thinking, even if they didn't work for him, there's a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And for a family to have that, I just saw that as a plus.
Yeah.
I go, this guy can't be all they're saying.
Yeah.
Because he's got respect that you can't buy just because you're rich. Because a lot of rich people have kids that hate their parents.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then everybody was saying, well, he was this and that. And I say, the guy doesn't drink. He's actually kind of like almost this uppity Puritan if you were going to hang out with him. He's like, want to drink? He's like, no, I don't drink.
Well, you know, I've always said that, you know.
It amazed me with him. I was just like, I was impressed.
I voted for him because he was an outsider, not part of the good old boy network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's proven that to be true. Yes. I also voted for him because he reminds me a lot of me, yeah, as far as being a rebellious guy. Yeah. Donald Trump does what Donald Trump wants to do.
Yeah.
And he's a rebellious guy. He came out and he said, look, this is what I'm going to do. He's pissed off the world because he's doing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, that drives him crazy.
You know, here we are. We've got, they've tried everything they can. Every day since Donald Trump won the election has been a hate fest. Every news and media source out there, with the exception of a couple of rare ones, the entire Hollywood crowd, with the exception of a very few individuals, have done nothing but spew hate at this man every single day for the last 3 years, going on 4 years now. And we just had a new approval poll. He's at, what, 52%?
I think that was the one I heard last night.
They 52%. Can't figure it out how they have – I mean, Russia – oh, by the way, Mueller's going to be quiet now. He's not issuing his report because he knows it's going to make him look like a fool.
Yeah. He needs to be I don't know. What do you do with a prosecutor you hire to figure it out and give you a report and then says, I'm not going to give you the report?
Yeah, man. I don't know.
It's like, I'm sorry. Is that like Clinton saying, yeah, I'll take care of national security and then put all our email on a Gmail account?
Well, and then delete them and start beach splitting hard drives and all that other stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I do that, any of that.
Jail, man.
Yeah,
jail.
So they hate him. And here's a guy that has... Everybody always said, well, I don't think these politicians should get paid so much. He's not even taking a paycheck.
He's not. He's donating his paycheck to charity.
Everything everybody's always said, if I had the perfect president, what would I want?
Yeah.
I'd want him to be, you know, a businessman, know how to, you know, do math.
Yeah.
I'd want him to be hardworking and not, you know, do all these things. It's like, okay, here you go. He's a businessman. He's smart. You don't open a golf resort in Dubai and not know how to deal with people from other countries and other cultures.
Right.
He's been successful. He's got a good family that love him. And he's not even taking a paycheck.
And he shook Kim Jong-un's hand.
Yeah. He's done everything that – I mean, if you went back in time and you, you know, like 5 years ago, go, my perfect president would be.
Yeah.
And then here he is, and yeah, everybody's like, oh, I changed my mind. Well, not
now they hate him. Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, most Trump's base is rock solid.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have a Republican base. He has a Trump base.
That's exactly right.
If he ran
yes, sir,
as an independent.
Yes, sir.
it wouldn't matter.
No.
He doesn't need that big tent. That's what he's talking about.
And what we had he had his first campaign speech of 2020 in El Paso, and this guy Beto O'Rourke, he's not Latin or Mexican or whatever you want to call it. And he says, well, I'm going to go head-to-head with Trump. And he brought out, 200 people?
Yeah.
And then you saw the cameras outside, and it was, tens of thousands of people at the Trump. Look.
Outside.
Even on his best day, Barack Obama couldn't turn out the people that Trump turns out.
And the only time he did was the inauguration.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it.
And that was great. It was awesome that many people cared.
Yeah.
But after that, It was crickets.
Yeah, nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing that gets me is right now. All right. So I've said this before. This whole wall thing is going on. And so you've got to take that for what it is. But he promised him. He told him he campaigned on that. And if he gets the wall, which we know he's going to.
Yeah. One way or the other.
He's going to get reelected. Now, I don't see anybody over there on the Democratic side that excites anybody. What, you got a washed up old socialist, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You got what's her name? Kamala Harris, who said that she smoked a lot of weed and that she listened to Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Before they ever released it.
Yeah. So she listened to music in the future while she was smoking her weed.
I told you they beamed her up from somewhere.
then what do you got? You got a fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Then you've got the fake Mexican, Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
You've got, who else is there?
Oh, God, it's getting...
There's a lot of them.
They laughed at the Republican Party because it was so big, during 16.
Yeah.
And now they've doubled that number. It's like, well, we're going to double down.
Oh, let's not forget sleazy, greasy Uncle Joe Biden.
Oh, God.
And Hillary. Hillary's going to jump in there. You watch.
Yeah. She will. And they're going to put her in there because, see, they want somebody that can do like Trump did in the debates.
Yeah.
Like pick them off one at a time. So I would say that most of them are just going to fall by the way because that's in the game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
They are. She's going to pick on you and you're going to walk off the stage crying.
Yeah.
And then, so they're going to try to emulate what Trump did naturally.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they can't run a country like he can naturally.
No.
And I'm still amazed when I watch the news that people still cannot put their differences aside after 2 years.
Now. Yeah.
You know what? You know, I mean, I've had people that I dislike, but then once you get to know them and you find out their motivation about why they did something, you start coming around.
Yeah.
But we're not close-minded, media junkies, I guess.
So look, you've got record high GDP, record low unemployment. You've got the economy is thriving right now. Donald Trump is going to run in 2020. That's what he's going to run on, keeping that momentum going. And the Democrats are going to run on, let's stop Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, they have nothing, and I've always wondered when you watch the elections, even local ones, you say, hey, but what are you going to do? What is your platform? It's always like, he's this, he's that, he's that.
Exactly.
And then the other person, instead of rising above that, it's like, yeah, well, you did this and that. It's like, na-na-na-na, boo-boo.
Yep.
Instead of, just running and saying, this is what I want to do.
Which is what Trump did.
Yeah. And everybody went, that's awesome. I'll elect you. So that's what his base is, and a lot of people I know that are Democrat are in his base.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're not stupid either.
Closet. I mean,
America is not as dumb as the media says we are.
No.
They don't even act like we're listening to it because we are dumb. They're just saying, you're stupid. Here's some more information that you need to regurgitate.
Let me give you a word of advice. Be cautious as to what you listen to in the mainstream media. Because you have to understand, it sounds like it's a lot bigger than what it is because they have the voice. They have all of the cable news. They have all the networks. They have Hollywood. They have, they even have Disney. They have everything wrapped up in their cuddly little blanket. Yeah. And the message that they want to put out is what's getting put out. And they can make it look like there's a lot more people out there
than
there really are. And if you look at, now, I'm not a fan of polls because polls you can make do whatever you want.
Yeah.
These are their polls. These are their polls after the State of the Union address. We had, what, 72-74% of the people they polled were in favor of Donald Trump. And immediately, they had to come out and try to discredit their own polls. Immediately.
Don't listen to us.
These polls.
I mean, listen to us, but don't listen to us.
These polls, you know, we haven't had them scientifically analyzed yet, so we're not sure if they're really 100% accurate. And then
any poll is scientifically accurate
right.
half the time.
And then you got, you know, the 52% approval poll. That's their poll, and they can't figure out why it is that after all this time, day after day after day after day after day, Russia collusion, you know, Trump used the N-word. We got him recorded doing this. He was with prostitutes every single day. There was something. And they can't figure out why he's still polling as high as he's polling at this stage of the game.
They can't figure it out because I think they don't have the IQ to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because the people that really, you know, like me and you, that really, you know, I hate saying love Trump because that's such a bromance kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we understand what he's doing.
Right.
And so when somebody says, well, you know that friend of yours, he stole my car. We just listen to it and go, yeah, no. Because we actually know.
Exactly.
You know, so anything they say bad about Trump is usually something that I'm thinking, good.
Yeah.
I hope that's true because that's exactly what I wanted him
to do.
That's
exactly right.
They don't understand that
because they
think we're all supposed to be little snowflakes.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, a wall's immoral. Trump wants to build a wall. I'm thinking it's not immoral. I hope he builds a wall. And the more you bitch about it, the more it affirms that I'm right. We need a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
We need protection because it's not like the good old days when you could just say, you know, shoo, go home. We have enemies.
Absolutely.
A lot of serious enemies. And we're not separated by our enemies with oceans anymore.
No, they're right here in the homeland, brother.
Yeah.
And they're elected into our Congress.
Yeah. And that, you know, if they were, I mean, you look at like a guy like Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
And it's not because he says the same things I want to hear, but he loves America.
Absolutely.
And if he was a Democrat that loved America, I wouldn't care if he was in politics.
Right.
But these crazy people are getting elected and then going, the first thing I'm going to do is burn the Constitution. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, then the first thing we need to do is flush you.
Yeah.
But the minute you say that, you're a racist.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not a racist.
You know, remember the Green New Deal?
Yeah.
It flushes our Constitution
right down the toilet. And you know, and technically, you know, everybody's always told me when I was growing up, well, we could vote in a communist country.
Yeah.
But really, when you read the Constitution and you understand what it means, it's like the minute that happens, the Constitution is void.
Yeah.
Which means we don't have a president. We don't have senators. We don't have Congress. We don't have anybody. It's over. Once you void that contract, you don't have the keys to your house
anymore. You're done.
So all of a sudden, now you've got a 300 pissed off million Americans that are going to go, excuse me, Cuomo, what? We don't have a Constitution anymore? Well, good, then if I shoot you, I didn't really shoot my politician.
Exactly.
I just shot somebody that was trying to ruin my life.
That's right.
And it's got to get to a point eventually because I don't know when do we fix it? Because it's broken.
It is broken.
And right now we have 500,000 people under the hood of the car going, you know, trying to tweak things.
Right, right.
And everyone's afraid to do anything, and it's just wrecking it.
Well, you know, the common mentality in America today, and I say this a lot, education, is that, you know, government has too much power.
Yeah.
And government has no power.
But somehow government have too much power.
Government has the authority that we delegate to them. Americans think there are legislators, they make the laws, they know what's better for us than we do. But that's not the way it works. George Washington clearly said that the power under the Constitution is in the people.
They should do the things we tell them to do.
Exactly. Turn that light switch on, please. Turn that light switch off, please.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to react to what we say. But the problem is America is being taught that we live in a democracy.
Which they do what they want.
They're hammering it in their heads that we live in a democracy. It's a constitutional representative republic, my friends.
And see, there is the difference in the simplest version I've ever read on the difference between a republic and a democracy is in a democracy, I elect you and you do what you think is right.
Uh-huh.
In a republic, I elect you and you do what I tell you to do.
Now, the other key to that is in a democracy, literally means rule by many of those who participate. A republic means rule by balance.
Yeah.
If you strip it down to its literal definition, republic literally means rule by balance. Executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the government, they are all meant to keep each other in check, yet not allow too much authority. I don't like to use the word power, too much authority
right.
to one individual or one group of individuals. Right. And so when you get, you know, when you get Nancy Pelosi out there talking about how she's the president's equivalent, I'm sorry, but, you know, people, you know, they can say, well, you know, constitutionally. No, look, if you look at it, she is the Speaker of the House. The House has, or the Senate has two chambers, the upper and the lower chamber, the Senate and the House.
That's she's the
Speaker. She's the Speaker of the House. And by the way, not all of them. She doesn't control all of them.
Right.
Okay. Like what, a third?
Right.
So that's when I say educated, get educated. That's what I mean. Understand that you have to understand how to use your civic authority to control your elected officials.
Right.
Because that's the only way a constitutional republic works.
Right. And it's so hard because they've taken the representation out of your backyard and moved it so far away. And Congress has become so inept because they don't see that they're being handed their hat.
Right. Oh, they are too.
Because it used to be, I elect you because you're my friend. We grew up. We went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you love the community. And usually a representative was maybe 10,000 people max.
Right.
And then you went and did things and you came home. Uh-huh. Now, if you did things that hurt your community, you probably got a whipping by your dad. Almost.
Right, right.
So we had that direct representation no matter where the laws were written. You know, you could talk to your representative. Well, now it's, well, we got to see what the Senate wants to do.
Right.
Nobody cares what the Senate wants
to do.
Exactly. They're the mailman that delivered the laws to the president so he could sign them.
That's right.
And the president is just the guy that enforces them.
That's it. That's it. The executive branch is that his duty is to enforce the law.
Right.
The law that it
constitutional law.
Right.
And the Supreme Court's job was to sit there and look at a law or a bill, you know, that the legislators put together. Someone challenged it and they go, no, this is not
right.
constitutional.
Interpret it.
Yeah.
Interpretation.
In our opinion, this will not hold water if you go to court.
So you have the House and the Senate, mommy and daddy, they copulate, they make the bills, they send them over to the president. The president signs it. He becomes the enforcer. And I kind of don't like the idea of making, you know, if he has to create another branch to enforce that law, you know, so be it. But I'm going to hold that thought because I'm going to come back to that. Then you have, you know, somebody like Mark come along and say, no, I don't believe in that. I don't like that idea. So then it goes to the court. The court interprets that law and says, well, okay, it either is or isn't. But here's the thing. When I was talking about the enforcer having maybe, you know, like when I took a class on Constitution, and the teacher had this big old board up there, and he had this timeline across the board. And I wished I would have paid more attention.
Don't we all?
I wished I would have taken a picture of that stupid chalkboard, because what he did, and he did this all off of memory. This guy knew his stuff, man. And he starts writing down, you know, the year. And then he says, you know, President so-and-so enacted the FDA. And then the FDA, we had this branch of government enacted to make sure that this law is upheld. And then this year, President so-and-so did this and created this branch of the government to enforce this law. By the time, I kid you not, Mark, by the time this guy was done, the entire board was full of stuff.
So really your line from you to the president, your line of authority is really blurry.
Yeah.
It's got all this fuzz on
it. Oh, it's crazy, man.
And we don't look at it that way. And we don't understand that. These are unconstitutional. I share a lot of videos from the 10th Amendment Center. And everyone in their Facebook posts is like, under a constitutional republic, the TSA doesn't exist. You know, or under a constitutional republic, the Department of Education does not exist. And then you watch the video and you do a little research and you're like, this whole organization, like the EPA, is just hanging out there with no authority, and yet they give them badges.
Yeah.
And there's a sheriff in Utah, I think. Might be Utah or Oregon, that went to all the park rangers and said, turn in your badges and give us your guns. You can no longer write tickets. And then it was a shock to them to find out that they were really getting their authority from the sheriff.
Absolutely.
Not the federal government.
The sheriff is the authority in the county.
And they raised the stink and, you know, found out and said, no, you are not in control. The sheriff is in control. And if you write a ticket, you're writing it on his account.
The sheriff is the ultimate. He's the man.
Yeah.
He is the man, and he can tell the governor to go pound sand if the governor is trying to make him do something unconstitutional.
When you really think about it and you go, wow, if it were that simple.
Yeah.
If we had constitutional sheriffs, all of these problems would really
all of them would go away.
Because the FBI would not have been able to stormtrooper Roger Stone, because the sheriff would have put a stop to that and said, no, I'll go talk to him about this. And if he needs to come in, he'll come in and talk to me.
Yeah, that whole Roger Stone thing.
You have no authority to talk to him. I don't care if you're a congressional hearing or not.
Yeah.
He's my constituent. He's my responsibility.
That's exactly right.
But they let him run amok.
Yes,
and
the
sheriffs will hide under a desk rather than stand up to the FBI or the ICE or any of them.
Yeah.
And you need a sheriff. If you had a sheriff, we just had a good sheriff.
Here. Wasn't it funny, man? Wasn't it funny how we actually sent in more. Roger Stone, an unarmed man in his home, not bothering anybody.
No.
And
Own a gun.
They sent in more FBI agents to go and get him than we went to go get Bin Laden.
Probably more than they arrested El Chapo. Of course, it's hard to find.
And then guess who was there? CNN.
Yeah. And, you know, and I posted those videos that I took offline from a live feed. And, you know, he even shows it. He goes, that's the guy from CNN. And you notice the guy from CNN, he drives past the house.
Yeah.
And then he comes back looking for it. And then he turns around and tells everybody, no, I've been staking him out every week.
Yeah.
But you forgot where his house was? Because I'm pretty stupid and I do some dumb stuff.
Yeah.
But after about the third time to someone's house,
yeah,
I know which one it is.
I know how to get there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Especially in the dark. You know, it's like, it's that rose bush.
Yeah. And 6 o'clock in the morning on what? Saturday morning. Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And they're there with lights, cameras, action.
Right.
You know, their action reporter was there.
And when you watch that video, CNN shows up. Or, I mean,
10 minutes ahead of time. Yeah.
And then somebody from the FBI chats with him. And I thought, well, maybe that wasn't really an FBI guy chatting with him, because it's not that best of video.
Yeah.
And then all of the troopers come storming through. They basically pat the guy on the shoulder when they walk by.
Yeah.
Now, if you're at a crime scene where they're doing something like that, first thing they're going to do is push you back in your car and say, get out of here.
Yeah.
And Roger Stone even said the roads were blocked off. His neighbors were told to stay in the house. And yeah, here come these heavily armed guys walk right past CNN and didn't go, what are you doing?
Exactly.
So you know it was a setup.
Sure, it was a setup. They had to have known.
Yeah.
How else does CNN show up at your house at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning? They just hang around?
Yeah.
Now, you know, Roger Stone, a patriot, man. A patriot he is. I will not incriminate the president.
Right.
And go Roger Stone.
And what did he do? I mean, they can go down this litany of imaginary charges. First of all, they leave out the word alleged.
Come on, man.
But everything, even if he said, yeah, I did that and did that and did that, none of them are a crime.
If you've ever talked to President Donald or to Donald Trump in your life.
Yeah, I just talked to him earlier on the board.
Get ready, because the FBI are showing up.
I know. Holy crap. I need to get my security gate built. So at least they can.
I'm telling you, man, if you've ever talked to President Trump in your entire life, you are a target and you're going to be investigated and indicted by the grand jury and the FBI.
Maybe
they're
going
to come get you.
Maybe that's why all his friends before he became president now hate him, because they're distant.
Maybe. You just, like, dude, you just hit the nail on the stone.
Like, well, I say something good about him. You know, real criminals in White House, you know, like the FBI and all these things, are going to come and get me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a celebrity. Shit, yeah. I'll just shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, maybe that's it. They're just all toeing the line. And then when it's all over, you know, in 6 more years when he finally, you know, steps down, we have to elect some other loser. I wish he could just run, you know, like George Washington, just on in perpetuity.
Yeah.
But then everyone would be like, yeah, I'm your buddy. You know, we all be sucking up to him again, going, I'm your buddy.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, but I had to distance myself because those guys in the FBI, they weren't messing around.
No.
And who the hell are these people in the FBI? I mean, doesn't the president, I mean, he's the chief law enforcement guy in the,
exactly,
federally.
Yeah.
And these people work for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet they're running amok. That's mutiny.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you were the captain of the ship, you would chuck them people off the ship.
Absolutely. It is
and
mutiny.
And yet they're just running almost in a shadows, doing everything to destroy him. And he's their boss.
Yeah.
And they hang out pretty close together.
Sure,
it's not
they
like
do.
They're in another country to where they can sit there and go, he's not watching.
Yeah.
You know, he could just walk into their office and have them arrested.
Yeah.
So, but then everybody would flip out about that. You know, he couldn't even fire Mueller because then he's interfering with an investigation.
Did we talk about that? Did we already talk about Mueller being quiet?
You brought it up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But not to the point to where, you know, why is
Mueller? We hired him to do a job and now he's not, he did his job. Unfairly, but he did his job. And now that he's done his job, he's not going to issue a report because why? It's going to make him look like a fool.
Or his paycheck is. I mean, it probably pays pretty good to be, you know, doing that.
I think it does.
I wish they would sit there and go, well, you know, it would really freak out the Clintons. Like, well, you know, we've been digging up dirt and you keep showing up. So now we're going to arrest you because I mean, when you're digging around in someone's garden, you might find someone else's bodies.
That's right.
And Hillary and the Clintons have a lot of bodies to explain.
Yes. Oh,
you
man.
Know, the list is
and people that wake up on trains not remembering stuff.
Yeah. And so it would be funny if the actual investigation showed something that we actually care about in America, like real corruption, real fraud, you know, Benghazi.
Yeah.
These things.
Oh, man.
Then it would be. Oh, good on you, Mueller.
Mueller.
No, nothing's going to happen. They're all going to sit around and drink lattes and milk us out of more money, which we have plenty of because Trump's not getting paid. He works for us, the people. He loves it.
Well, he's actually volunteering his paycheck to go to charity.
Well, I think we're going to kind of wrap it up.
I think it's amazing how fast time flies, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
And if we had a clock, we would have saw that. And maybe we would have stayed on point. But I think you understand our point here is that, you know, because I like to wrap things up in a neat little bow, but that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of issues we face as Americans, and some of them are just nothing we can do about, and some of them are things we can do something about.
Yeah.
And I think as we move along on the show, we'll try to bring a little bit more of a perspective to where you can see that it is a problem. And maybe what we can do to fix it, because everybody can point out problems all day long. But you know, what makes me sleep at night is knowing that I have options or they're so far removed that I don't have to worry about them.
Exactly.
You know, and if there's something I'm going to worry about, then I should be able to fix it. And if it's not, then I should be able to live my life in a way to where at least I'm insulated or protected from the wolf at the door, you know. So. We will work on it. But we had a lot of notes here and we had a lot of technical issues to start working out. But I think all in all, I think we did good. I mean, we are crazy, so who cares?
I don't care.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the program. like I said before, if you can, do what you can to visit the sponsors and go over there and visit the other programs and just like, share. That helps a lot. Helps a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Remember, check out the sponsors. Log on to www.redstateunderground.com. That's one of the websites that you should go check out. ContraRadioNetwork.com. Two Crazy Guys, www.twocrazyguys.com with the number 2 and the letter K.
And
PrepperGuy.com, of course.
PrepperGuy.com.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Have a great week.
The Two Crazy. Crazy Guys on Contra Radio Network and KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority.